Oh, what a beautiful scene to greet us here. I'm going to read to you what happened after the birth of Jesus from the second chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. So listen for God's word. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him." And then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until after the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger, according to the time that he'd learned from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." And then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God. The second installment of the movie The Hobbit has just hit the movie theaters. I haven't seen it yet, but I have read the book. Have you seen the second installment yet, any of you? A few of you have. Should I go see it? Maybe. And Bilbo Baggins, in the book The Hobbit, makes a great and insightful statement. He says, "The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow, if I can, pursuing it with eager feet until it joins some larger way where many paths and errands meet. And whither then? I cannot say." In The Hobbit, book and movie, we encounter the small and relatively sedentary creatures that are called hobbits. We meet one hobbit in particular, Bilbo being his given name. Years ago, I read the book. I was enchanted by it. Read it to my children. They loved it. It's a work of literature, but it's also a world, a symbolic world that echoes deep within me. It was decades after I read The Hobbit and its sequel books, The Lord of the Rings, that I read a quote by the author J.R.R. Tolkien that The Lord of the Rings is essentially, fundamentally, a religious work. Unconsciously at first, but deliberately, consciously in revision. As Tolkien later wrote, "I am a Christian, and of course what I write will be from that essential viewpoint." With that as background, let me only note that one of the essential spines that runs through these tales is that of journey. Whether it is The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, we encounter the theme of a quest, even pilgrimage, of sacrificial pursuit of a higher good at the risk of one's own self. And several times in these books, Tolkien begins various songs with the words, "The road goes ever on and on." And well into the tale, when leaving the Shire in The Lord of the Rings, young Frodo tells the other hobbits Bilbo's thoughts on the road. He used to often say that there was only one road, that it was like a great river. Its springs were at every doorstep, and every pathway was its tributary to this great river. "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door," Bilbo used to say. "You step out onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." And so, as Bilbo first said, the road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead, the road has run, and I must follow, if I can. All of us have been on a journey through Advent. We have followed the journey of Mary and Joseph, both physically from Nazareth traveling to Bethlehem, and spiritually as their self-understanding has evolved as two individuals who have had a divine encounter, and now their lives, their roads have changed. And through the course of following Mary and Joseph's journey leading to the birth of Jesus, we all hopefully have realized that we too are on a journey that is more than a physical journey. We are each of us on a spiritual journey in our lives, traveling from our far countries back to God. As Bilbo told Frodo, once we step out of our home or our comfort zone, we encounter a road that is like a great river. It springs at every doorstep, its path every tributary, and this road goes ever on and on. I invite you this morning to see your own life in the context of being a spiritual journey, that your life is a journey, a tributary leading to the great river that is flowing to God. On this journey, in this life, there is no end. The journey goes on and on, for we never quite arrive. As John Wesley once said, we are on a road to perfection, remembering that Jesus told us, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. But we're never going to achieve perfection in this life, perfection in love, of course, being what's intended. But that has to be our goal. If that's not our goal, where are we headed? But that road goes ever on and on until we find our completion in God. It's very helpful, I think, to remember that Mary and Joseph's long, hard journey did not end when they arrived at Bethlehem and Jesus was born. A terrified and paranoid King Herod threatens the life of every child who's under 2 years of age. And so once again, Joseph and Mary take to the road, traveling to safety in Egypt. And the Magi, those wise men who had traveled a long time from far countries to give homage to the Savior and inadvertently got entangled in Herod's scheme to find this newborn King of Kings, after their lengthy journey, they are warned to return to their homelands by another way. And their long road went on and on. And as for Jesus, well, his life was an endless journey with few places where he could rest his head. He traveled as an itinerant preacher and teacher throughout the Galilee and then heroically turned his face, we're told, toward Jerusalem. And it was a journey that culminated in the monumental self-giving of his life for us so that we would all one day return to God. Now, a wizard like Gandalf is not going to show up at your door or mine and invite himself in, inviting us, challenging us to this spiritual journey. But oftentimes, God finds a way to work, leading us in ways that are beyond our expected physical life path. And lo and behold, unless we watch our feet, there's no telling where we may be swept away to. God works through us. And so God is likely to come calling you in one way or another. Well, occasionally, God will act unilaterally and directly. You know, the fire from heaven, the water that comes from a rock, an earthquake, prison break setting Paul free. But more often than not, according to the Bible, God partners with people, ordinary people, you and me type of people. God answers our prayers through somebody else. God is with us in and through other people in our lives. God relies on human agency to accomplish the divine design. We can't do it without God, but God chooses not to do many things without us. That's the model of what we call incarnational theology. We celebrate the incarnation, the enfleshment of God in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to himself. We celebrate that at Christmas. It's the meaning of Christmas that God took on human flesh. God in human flesh, God working through flesh. But you read through the Bible, you find many such surprising calls. God calls Abraham to leave his home, to leave his inheritance, and to go to a far and distant land, leave his forebears' design behind, and to start a new family, a new people of God in a distant land. Or God speaks to Moses in a burning bush and tells him to go blast Pharaoh with a, "Let my people go." Or God meets Isaiah in the temple and says, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Or God calls Sarah to be the mother of a chosen child when she is far beyond childbearing age. And an angel appears to a frightened young teenager and announces, "Greetings, Mary. The Lord is with you." No place is too far out of the way. No time is too ordinary. No person too insignificant for God to call. Not even here. Not even now. And not even you. The problem is that oftentimes we do not recognize that our lives really are a spiritual journey. The mystics suggest that our souls are asleep. Spirituality means waking up, writes Anthony DeMello. Most people, he says, even though they don't know it, are asleep. They're born asleep, they live asleep, they marry asleep, they breed children in their sleep, they die in their sleep without ever really waking up. They never understand the loveliness and the beauty of this thing that we call human existence, and they do not understand that their lives are on a road that's meant to return to God. Annie Dillard agrees. She says, "We teach our children only one thing, as we were taught. Wake up! Wake up!" We teach our children to look alive there, to join by words and activities the life of human culture on this planet's crust. And yet, like so many Willis dolphins, we adults plunge and surface and lapse and emerge, and we live our lives, our waking lives, as if we were half asleep in some private, useless, insensible waters that we never mention or recall. The Yiddish have a word for it that many of us love. They call it schlepping. Most of us are just schlepping through life. And then one day we wake up, and where's the time gone? Where's our life gone? We've missed the starting gun. We might as well go back to sleep and wait for the credits to roll. But thankfully, God is not content to let us go schlepping through life. God's call comes in many different ways, and it usually arrives wrapped up in some opportunity or some moment of crisis or need or pregnant possibility. It's often surprising. It's often unexpected, as we are routinely going about our routine daily drudge. It is often surprising. It doesn't necessarily come through an angel. It may come through an inner realization or a reflection, a heightened awareness, or even maybe through a habitual pattern. But in those special moments, we realize that God is calling us, and we have an opportunity to bear the love of God into the world, to comfort or to sustain or to strengthen, to support, to assist, to encourage, to comfort, to redeem somebody for God's good. By God's presence in you, you can change somebody else's life, and your life will be changed for the better as well. Now, that's a high and privileged calling, but how shall we respond? Will we be willing to respond if we sense that somehow God is calling you or me? Almost always, I think, our initial response is dread. As it was for Bilbo, at least in the book, he dreaded leaving the comfort of the Shire. When God calls us, it's an interruption. It's a detour. It's a change of plans for us. And naturally, we beg off and we make excuses. You remember in the scriptures about how Moses said, I stutter. And not just when I talk to you, Lord, I stutter. And Isaiah says, I'm a trash mouth among the trash mouths. That's a rather loose translation, but that's what he is saying to God. And Sarah laughs in the face of God and says, duh, God, I'm way too old for a child, don't you know? And Jeremiah complains, I'm too young. I'm just a baby. And when God knocks Saul of Tarsus off of his donkey on the road to Damascus, Paul actually says, do I know you? Who are you? resistance is our first response. We don't want the trouble. We don't want to change. Better the familiar, if boring, rut in the shire to the unknown adventure that's offered to us by God when God places a call upon our lives. We think of 100 excuses, 1,000 reasons why it is just impossible. The Bible stories tells us that when God calls, people resist. But the scriptures also tell us that when God calls, God persists. If people say yes, if we happen to say yes to God's invitation, then an adventure unfolds the like of which we've never seen, and it benefits all humankind. But here's the thing. Your life is a journey, and the road you choose, we hope and pray, will lead you to God. More and more, I think that God puts us here for this brief moment that we call life to learn how to love and to be loved. And whenever we answer God's call to love, we claim God's own image within us. Remember, we were created in God's image, but we've lost that image. But when we respond in love, I think we begin to reclaim that image of God within us. What I'm saying here on this Sunday of Christmas, this last Sunday before year's end, is that once again, right here, right now, today, in our own time, in our ordinary daily routines, whether you are a geezer like me or a jive-talking teenager, God is picking you. God is choosing you. God is attempting to speak to you in some way. And as eager as I am to see The Hobbit and to see how Bilbo takes on the dragon Smaug, there's an even greater adventure that awaits you and me whenever our hearts are willing to respond to God, whenever we say yes to God. As once an angel declared, "Greetings, Mary, the Lord is with you," I think if you listen hard, or at least even attempt to listen, you may well hear, "Greetings, Dan and Gretchen, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, Todd and Danielle, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, Larry and Luann, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, Tom, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, Jeff and Rachel, the Lord is with you." Or, "Greetings, Ashley and Chris, peace to you, Elaine." Or, "Lori and Travis and Michael, the Lord is with you. Will you hear my call?" Just say, "Greetings," whatever your name is. Just place it there. The Lord is speaking to you, and the Lord is with you. With God, all things are possible. Your life is pregnant with possibilities for God. Who knows what journey God may be calling you on? The one thing that is certain, however, is that God is calling you. God is beckoning you. God is inviting you, and God is knocking on your door. And as soon as you step out of your comfort zone and set your foot on the path, oh, watch out, for God's love will be born in you, and your sacred journey will have begun. May we pray. The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. And now far ahead, the road has run, and we must follow where we can. God of life, Lord of love, come again into our world and come among us and come through us and call us to be your servants, your agents, your entry point into our world and into the lives of those around us. Set us on our sacred journey, and we will say, "Whatever, whatever you want, Lord. Wherever you send us, however you would use us, O God, may we love your children and build your kingdom as we journey in life with you." In Christ's name we pray. Amen.